In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome back to the You Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. Jordana, it's such a pleasure to be back here with you. How are you? What's going on?
I'm great. It's September.
It's crazy. It's pretty wild. I understand this will be, by the time this comes out, there'll be 1,000 memes about how September, it was January yesterday, you know, but it does, this year kind of has the feel of being 700 years and 7 minutes at the same time.
Right. It's very weird. It reminds me, I know you don't read, but no. There's that A Tale of Two Cities. It, like, I've been thinking a lot about the opening quote of that, and it says, like, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
That and kind of feels like you could say, there's a way to make that the time thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels very of the moment. Because it does
it
feel
was
like the
best
of and
years.
Worst of
times. It was the shortest of years.
Exactly. Like,
what do you got going on at Betches? Anything special before we get going?
I think I mentioned last week that I will be hosting the Brides podcast. So if you guys haven't checked it out, go check it out. And also, if you're in that space or bride curious and you have anything you want me to talk about, just slide into my DMs, or if you want to email brides@betches.com. I'm open to any and all suggestions. I want to make it a great show that people really like. So let me know what you'd like me to cover. Jared,
what do you have going on? It's very exciting that people can go from your dating journey to the bride journey. Just all they got to do is jump over to one podcast to the left.
Exactly. Give me 25 years. I'll be hosting the Betches in Menopause podcast.
What type of fan which do you recommend?
Exactly.
So, I'm going to be on Long Island doing shows the weekend of 9/11. I'm going to be on Long Island. I'm going to also be in Philly, and I'm going to be Long Island and Philly. Those are the two to look out for. Dallas as well. So jaredfreed.com, jaredfreed.com, jaredfreed.com. What are we talking about today, Jordana?
Today, we are talking about the difference in, I mean, one thing that's clearly emerged over the past 6 months, which is how long we've been doing this, is that everyone has their own version of like what's okay and what's safe during these unprecedented times.
Absolutely.
And I think it's interesting because, like, even in a relationship where you're kind of on the same page, there's always like one person who's like cares a little more, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It there's somebody, you're definitely not sure who, it's kind of like meeting someone where you're not sure if they speak English or not. You know, like, do we speak the same language? Like, I have that moment with COVID with my elevator every day. So the elevator,
like, should you let the extra person on? You mean,
are you cool? Like, the elevator will go down from my floor down to the lobby, and on the way down, it'll stop on like the sixth floor, and some guy or girl or whatever it is just sits at the door, and we have this moment of like, you cool? Am I cool? Are you in?
Right.
Are you out? And I go, I'm a person that goes, get in there. Come on. You know, like,
you don't wait for them to say, like, do you mind?
I'm a wave them in. I'm okay. Wearing the mask. They're wearing the mask. Get on in here. Let's hug. You know, like, I listen, that's me. I'm not going to judge someone. If the elevator stops at my floor and the person gives me the, you know, the stop sign, the hand, you know, like the stop hand, I'm going to go, good on you. That's your decision.
Also cool. Yeah.
Also cool. Like, I think the problem with the internet generally is if you say I love chocolate, that means fuck vanilla, you know,
right.
And that's not the case. I can love chocolate and then be like, no, but I understand that vanilla is a good flavor for some. Like, I think, like, that's more true to the world than the internet version of like, you don't get in the elevator with me, you fucking loser, you know?
Do you and Jess ever disagree about, like, safety precautions or, like, how
absolutely
intense
absolutely.
You should be?
I think we have different feelings about it. We discuss it. We talk about, like, you know, just also, like, general guidelines for, like, what do you do next? Like, what... How, like, I think, like, also, like, the information, I'm not breaking news here, has been really bad to get to everybody. There's no right. national, like, agreement on literally anything.
Anything, like, yeah.
You know, like...
No one's like, well, yeah, this is definitely what we're doing. I mean, the mask thing is, like, pretty, I feel like, at least in New York, like, pretty universal.
I'm on board for the mask, but then someone looks at you and says, I have a breathing problem, and you go, well, you're a liar. I like
right.
you can like but then it's almost like a more morality hierarchy where they're like, if you say something that's, you know, like, well, I can't wear a mask, I have a breathing problem, you have to go, I guess I have to back away from their breathing problem. Like, can I? You're not gonna ask for someone's doctor's note, right. Like, it's
then
tough.
There's the things in the other direction of like, oh, you're like walking to the park when you don't need to be. Like,
yeah, exactly. It
goes both ways.
I've been walking the Williamsburg Bridge, as you know. I'm a big bridge walker now.
Yes. You turned into a 45-year-old housewife.
That's me.
I walk through the city.
I got my headphones on and I am strutting around that bridge. And Jess and I were walking the bridge and there was a guy, and I have a mask in my pocket and you're outside. And I'm walking down the ramp or whatever of the bridge, and there's a guy walking in the other direction. And Jess and I both have masks in our pockets, and we're walking. And this guy starts waving at us like, move over! Move over, you fucking idiot! You put on your mask! Put on your mask! And we're like, what? and it's like, I don't believe, I from everything I've read or the information that's gotten to me, like, us passing each other outside without, like, you know, spitting on each other while we pass is an okay right. thing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It's like, it's kind of like, I'll be walking somewhere with Mike, and then, like, he'll be like, put your mask on, and I'll be like, there's no one fucking around us. Like, what do you mean? He's like, it's just like an optical thing. It's like an optics thing. I'm like, it's about normalizing the mask wear so that everyone is, like, on board. I'm like, yeah, but there's no one here.
Like, yeah, I again, like, nuance is never let into the conversation.
Right.
You're either the guy, you're either Jess and I on the bridge being like, fuck you, mask people, or you're right. the old guy who's like, put on your fucking, you know, it's like, and listen, there might be someone listening now that's like, I'm with old guy. And that's okay. You know, like, I think, like, you know, it's all just very difficult. And I tend to try and live a little bit with empathy. Of, like, you know, if someone walked in a store without a mask, I wouldn't go, well, there's a fucking asshole racist. Like, I wouldn't, like, I'd right. be like, maybe they forgot.
You wouldn't be the person, like, you might not go stand next to them, but I don't think you'd be the person being like, put on your fucking mask.
I wouldn't. I'd stay away from them. I also saw the other day there was a tweet that, like, kind of went viral where it's like, I'm just going to assume anyone without a mask on is a racist. And I'm like, okay, you've taken a walk on that one, but right. I mean, that's like, I understand where that comes from, but I'm also like, I can't believe it's gotten to this point. So with dating, when you're meeting someone, it's even harder. Like how many things do you have to go through, and now you've added this extra thing, right? Do you and right. Mike disagree on it?
Well, I mean, like, the example I just gave you, kind of, I think that, like, he's a
so
little,
you're the more lax one.
Yeah, I think
is.
He's a
yeah.
little more risk averse than I am, which, like, I kind of appreciate, because, like, I feel like almost it's like we keep each other in check a little bit. Like, if he's yeah. being, like, a little paranoid, I think I'm there to be like, it's going to be fine. And if I'm being a little too lax, he'll be like, just, you know, put on the mask.
Yeah. But I think, like, this is the thing that I think there's room for these types of talks. I think, like, a lot of times we think there it's a
not all risk is equal, I think, also.
And also, not everyone has the same taste for risk tolerance. Like, there's some people that go to the casino and love to play at the blackjack table, and there's other people that wouldn't walk into a casino in their entire life. They would go, how could you ever risk money?
There's some people who go skydiving, like, regularly.
It's to say that, like, all of us are on the same page with risk tolerance is a little bit, like, to me, is a little bit, like authoritarian. Like, I'm actually, like, that's where you go towards, where you're telling people how to deal with risk is, you know, like, it's tough. And you know, the more we get into the subject, the more, like, I'm waiting for DMs to come my way that I've, you know, I'm the murderer. So, like, I don't think it lands in that world to me. But that's the trouble with all of this, right?
Right. That we're very, like, we're very excited to, like, point something. I mean, I think even, like, as someone who's not, like, I mean, I try to obviously try to be safe and, like, not endanger anyone around me. But I think as someone who's not, like, the most intensive person about COVID ever, like, even I, like, will see someone and kind of, like, the inner Karen comes out, or, like, the inner judgmental person will come out and be like, oh, wow, I can't believe they, like, went to that event.
I mean, it feels good to tell someone to put on a mask.
Right.
Let's not forget, like, the power of being like, I'm right, they're wrong, put on your mask, you fucking loser! You know, like, that feels good.
And I think of that Chainsmokers event, which, like, a week before, like, my friend sent me the event, and I was like, wow, this looks like pretty nice, like, cool, like, way to, like, be able to, like, go somewhere.
Hold on, explain the Chainsmokers event, because it was funny to me.
So the Chainsmokers event came out, I guess, like, probably a month ago, and a couple weeks before that, I had a friend send me the event, and it was, like, in the Hamptons, and she was like, this looks like it could be fun, like, we could do something, it's, like, socially, it's, like, there's, like, they have, like, the squares next to the cars, and it'll be, like, something to do, and it looks like fun, like a concert, wow, like, they made it work.
Sure.
So I was like, we were gonna get tickets, and then it was, like, $1,400 for a car or something like that. So we were like, okay, we don't really want to go that bad. And I sent it to you, and I was
yes.
like, you should do something like this, like some sort of distance thing, and everyone has a square. I was like, so a week later, there's like a New York Times article about how they're like investigating this, like, this terrible event. Everyone who went to this event is an asshole, and everyone who even like thought of going is the worst person. And I'm like, I guess it's a good thing that didn't work out.
And the headlines were so easily like the bad guy. Like the headlines was like, the Goldman Sachs CEO did a guest set on the DJ table, and all of them were in the front drinking rosé and licking one another, and you know, like, and you're like, ah, this is, and the pictures did look bad, but I would also say you could take a picture from any angle on the beach and it looks bad, and then you go stand next to them and you see that they're 6 feet apart and it's pretty good. You know, like it.
Right.
It is all perspective.
It's also like everyone's an idiot until I want to do that thing. It was a good reminder for me of like, you know, not to be like super judgmental of anyone, because like I could have easily been one of those pictures.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's JUVEDERM.com. not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Well, I it's all about perspective. I mean, if I could tell a quick story, if you don't mind.
Of course.
I think this is a funny story, but it's kind of emblematic of what we're talking about. The first night that New York City did outdoor dining, Jess and I got a reservation at a restaurant. And we were like, let's do it. We'll get dressed up. We'll have date night. We'll comb our hair. Like, it was the first time you were allowed out.
A shower. It's going to be great.
A shower. We go across the street. They're serving wines, they're serving Aperol Spritz out the window. We get a Rode Aperol Spritz. We're dressed up. We're glowing. We're drinking. We're walking through the streets. We walk to the restaurant. We're like, man, this is a New York City date in a time where it's tough to do these types of things. We get to the restaurant. We have an outdoor table. The wait staff's wearing masks. We're wearing masks. Every table's filled. Everyone is like, and you could tell, there was a vibe of happiness going on.
They're excited.
Yeah. The wait staff was happy. We were happy to spend money. It felt good. Then a two-piece band goes up and does a song from in the restaurant. And we legitimately, everyone at the table starts clapping. Like, they get done with their song, and we're like, oh, great job. And then the woman from the two-piece band, she gets on the mic, and she goes, you know, as much as you guys enjoyed that, it's been 3 months since we've been able to perform. This is one of the best moments for us too. And we start looking around at everyone at the other tables. We're like, look at us. Look at us. We're good people.
Like the end
we
of a did movie.
Exactly. We're like, we are good people. Then all of a sudden, a march broke, like got finished nearby. And people start walking by from the march with signs. And this dude walks by our table and starts going, fuck your brunch. White silence is violence. Fuck your brunch. And we had this moment of like, oh my God, we're supporting the restaurant. We're supporting the musicians. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh my God, we're evil now. And someone from across the street who was at the march starts clapping for this guy.
Right.
And it's like, and we're like, oh my God, if a picture was taken or a video.
It's like a Curb episode.
It felt very Curbish because if a video was taken of this moment, it would be protester yelling, fuck your brunch at me with a glass of rosé. Like, what? But us? But we were supporting our local restaurant, you know? And again, the picture, if the video's taken 10 seconds before, we're heroes. 10 seconds later, we're the villain. And right. It's kind of, it feels representative of a lot
of this
of these
time.
Things.
Yeah.
Of this
Sean,
time.
Sean, you can cue the Curb music after Jared, after that, the end of that story.
Yes. But I think it also plays into this email because, again, let me just say, to that point, mentally, this is a tough time. This is a tough time for people with anxiety, people with depression, people with addictions. Like, and those
well,
people
I don't
think are.
Should I read the email?
Let's read the email, but it has to do with that. Yeah. I think more than who wears a mask, who doesn't. This email is about dealing with people who are going through this. We're all going through a traumatic moment in life at the same time, and all of our risk tolerance is different, but also all of our mental tolerance is different. Like, I'm not someone who's ever gone to therapy. I've had sad days. I've had depressing days during this that I've never really dealt with in my life. I'm not saying on the levels of depression, I'm not, you know, I'm not someone that I don't think I need to see someone, but I do think, like, I've had to take, like, moments to go, wow, you're feeling, I've never felt these things before. And I think everyone has different levels of that, and we have to be a little bit aware of that this 100%. Is hitting you know, if you have a glass of wine and I have a glass of wine, it hits us differently. And I think that's also the same for coronavirus
and quarantine
and for everything going on in the world. But let's read the email.
All right. She writes, hi, J&J. My boyfriend and I have been dating for over a year. We met on a dating app last summer and did long distance while I moved away from my job shortly after meeting. The distance was difficult, of course, but I felt like we handled it well and both put in the work to see one another. With the pandemic, I've been home and been able to see him much more frequently. Positive side to all this. However, some traits have come more to light. He has divulged that he has OCD, major anxiety, and some issues with drinking. In his words, the current pandemic is a perfect storm for someone like him. I care about him a lot, but I can't help but feel like I'm the cause of his stress. I'm incredibly cautious. I would never put him or his family in danger. But I also am living my life by going to dance classes, seeing friends at a distance, and going to restaurants. He insists that he can be in a relationship and work on bettering himself. Wanted your thoughts. Thanks so much. And love the pod.
So I want to start the response to this by saying we're not professionals. You know, like
right.
these are, when you bring up OCD, major anxiety, issues with drinking, and pandemic being a perfect storm for someone like him. My first thing is to say we are not professionals, but also this is someone who is maybe a candidate to be encouraged to go to a professional.
Right. What could benefit from a professional. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. So but what do you think, Jordana, before, you know, just,
I think, well, it's her, I guess her question seems to be like, the question is almost like a non question. She's like, I guess trying to figure out how to deal with like somewhat of this guilt of like, I'm with this person who has all this anxiety around this thing. And I like, should she be like changing her, like the way that she, her lifestyle to fit in with this guy? Or should she be kind of like doing the things that would make him feel more comfortable and not going out and doing those things because they might like trigger his anxiety?
So to me, the difference in that answer comes with where the relationship is. Like, if you and Mike living together, if Jess and I living together, if my partner, if Jess said to me, hey, you kind of living this different way is like hurting me. Mm-hmm. I would go, okay, let's work on what we can do to fix that. You know, like I think that's because we've been together. We formed a relationship. We, you know, this thing of coronavirus comes and she goes, I'm dealing with this in a different way than you. And I need your help through that. I feel like that would be different to me because she's moved home. They've never really, like, I don't know. I'm not saying I don't want to.
She's
kind of
like their whole relationship has been long distance. So now she's like really getting to know him because she's seeing him much more frequently.
Yeah, and then you've come to find out. She says more traits have come to light. Like, I don't know. Like, those traits would have come to light. Not as soon as they came now, but at some point.
Right. Like, it's almost like it's making things progress a little faster because you're getting to see how someone deals with a crisis.
Yeah. And when she says, I feel like I'm the cause of his stress, but the cause of your stress is you living a happy life that makes you happy and fulfilled, then maybe he's not ready to be in a relationship. Maybe that's why the thing of going to a professional to me is like, maybe him working on himself before. I think a lot of times, like, we look for other people, like a relationship to help fix our problems when you kind of have to, like, go through your problems on your own and then realize what they are. And then in the relationship, like, I think putting it on the person you're dating isn't really fair to them.
Well, I think yes and no. I mean, like, she could have been dating him 4 years and living with him before this came to light. But like you said, like, then she might be more, she's at a point, I think, where she's not, the relationship isn't so serious that she can like say like, okay, like we've gotten to know each other more. I feel like we're a little less compatible than I thought we were now that we're kind of like seeing each other every day and we're seeing how we both kind of handle what's going on in the world. Yeah. And to say, and you can, I think she could say like, hey, like, I think that in the ways I've gotten to know you more, like, I think that we are really compatible besides this thing. So I'm willing to change my behavior because it will make you more comfortable. Or she could say like, I don't know if I'm deep enough into this. And like, this has sort of revealed something that I don't think will work long term for me. And like, I think it's almost like the onus is on her to say like, do I care about this person enough not necessarily care about them, but do I feel like this is going to be like a long-term enough match that I'm willing to sort of sacrifice some things in my lifestyle for this person?
Well, the
You think it's more on him?
I think it's, I don't think it's more on him, but like, you know, from what we have in the email, I do know that like sometimes it's like, hey, this is a perfect storm for me. And it's like, okay, then what are you doing to help that perfect storm? Did you, you know, are you working on it? Are you expecting me to work on it with you? How can we get through this together? Or are you just saying that all these traits are coming to light and you're pushing someone away by giving it, by self-diagnosing?
You right, know, by excusing your...
Yeah, like, right, oh, I'm I just have issues now. You know, like, I don't say that to lessen the problem, but I'm saying that to empathize with the emailer, because in her, in the thing that, in what you just said, it's, do I want to work with this? Or she's this monster who dumped a person with issues, you know, like,
well, I don't think she's, I don't think it's more that she's like, that she has to dump him, but I think she could say, I mean, like, it's on, it's almost on him, because she could say, like, I understand that you like this, me going to all these places gives you anxiety, but I'm not really willing to like change my lifestyle at the time. And then it would be like, almost like it's almost her asking him to dump her.
Yeah. I just think it's so tough. Like, I think when it, you know, I think a lot of times these like relationship wheels, like we all have different wheels and your wheel is different than mine, and the needs you have are different than the needs that I have. And it's like, is my, and on the wheel, there's things that are important, like family. Like when people write on a dating app, I need someone who loves their family. It's like, of course, like, and then you see how they, the dynamic is with their family, and you go, oh, that's how much they really care. On the wheel, there's also like sex. There's also like my ability to go hang out with friends. There's also my ability to go to a dance class to have, you know, the mental, you know, to alleviate myself mentally and physical through like doing a workout class. Like, and sometimes we become embarrassed of the more like seeming, you know, the sex one is the one that's like the glaring one where someone's like, I'm going to relate. Like, I got a DM once from this woman and she was saying that her husband was dealing with issues, and she was saying that, you know, she wasn't being satisfied sexually, but she didn't want to like, you know, like take, you know, she didn't want to like demean,
she didn't
want
to make it a big, like a,
because sex
bigger by, you know, or make his issue worse by like complaining about this other thing.
Well that, but also there's the embarrassment of like an orgasm socially isn't the same as mental health. You know, right. Like, and you sound like you're a very shallow person when you're like, well, I'm not being satisfied sexually, versus, you know, the person that's like, you know, you almost become this like martyr for the person. And for her, I care about him a lot, but I can't help but I feel like I'm the cause of his stress. I'm incredibly cautious, never put up with him and his family, but I'm also living my life, going to dancing classes, seeing friends at a distance, and going to restaurants. Like, to me, I'm like, good for you, girl. Like, go, but like, I think she could feel bad. I could understand if she's like, those aren't reasons enough to push him away or not be with him. But I would say they are.
Well, I think they are in so much as they're a problem for him. That's what I'm saying. Like, she, I mean, like, it seems like it's working out for her. Like, if she's still having fun with him while doing these things and he's not saying like, can you not do these things?
Yeah.
I think the question is like, but she hasn't really stated that in the email. Like, is he asking her like not to do those things? Is he asking her to give up some aspect of her life? Or is he just saying like, I'm just going to like power through this because I want to be with you and like do what you continue doing you. And I'll just sit here with my anxiety, just like
sure,
feeling terrible the whole time.
Yeah, I guess we don't know. I think though, like, it obviously there needs to be a conversation. Obviously, my thing is to say it's okay to say to him, hey, if you need to work on your thing, then and me doing these things isn't helpful. Give me, like, let's talk through it. Let's create a plan. Like, let's talk about, like, what are the times, what are the things I do that does cause stress? What are the things I do that don't? Like, right now, she's lumped in a bunch of things. And then he can say, well, this one makes me do this. This one may, and then, you know,
what is she willing to do versus like, then they can figure out like, is what she's willing to cut back on or willing to sacrifice enough for like to quell whatever issues he has.
And also, is he doing things to work on himself too? It's not just you doing all the work. Like, you know, like I said, like all of our mental states are maybe a little different than they were 8 months ago. I am a person who was like, oh my God, like I'm feeling a little sad. Like I haven't. And then I started walking the bridge, as I talked about. Like the walking the bridge makes me feel happy. That is my personal way of like doing something that takes. I got to go out. I got to leave the house. And it's like, if he's not leaving the house, quote unquote, like doing whatever version of that is to make himself feel better, then you got to judge that a part of that's going to be a part of it, too.
Yeah, I agree.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night, go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real, I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BOLLANDBRANCH.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Want to do some awkward sex?
Let's do some awkward sex.
Send yours in, UUP at Betches.com, UUP at Betches.com. Hello, Jared and Jordana. Love the pod. I'm going to jump right into it. So I've been seeing this guy for a couple months now, and things have been going great. We both love to cook and aren't half bad at it. So I invited him over this evening because I wanted to try and make tamales for the first time. We had a lovely time. I don't know about just such an involved dish. We had such a...
Like a pepper with... What is a tamale?
No. Tamale is not a pepper. And I understand...
A hot tamale.
That's what I would think it is. But I think a tamale is like the rolled up mesa. Right, Jess? It's a...
There's not enough good Mexican food in New York.
No, it is the one thing where like people say that and I go, yeah, you're right. And some people try to disagree with it and you're like, dude, this isn't the hill to die on. You know, like all right, how to make...
You're right. It's like a doughy thing.
Steamed in a corn husk or banana leaf. I've had it. It's good. It's delicious, but it's a New York...
This is why this isn't a cooking podcast.
Yeah. Go check out Betches Cooking. And they turned out pretty good, if I do say so myself. Everyone thinks their cooking's good.
As we know from your charcuterie board, nothing's good.
Don't even get me started on a charcuterie.
Does Jess ever cook for you? Because I can imagine you would just be like so critical.
We cook together. We've got a good thing going on.
You call us a salmon?
How could you plate it this way? Anyways, in our post tamale haze, we head up to my bedroom. We decompress with a short bit of Netflix. I light a candle, turn off the lights for some ambiance, and once our episode is over, we get right to business. The sex is great. There's nothing unusual about the actual coitus. He pulls out of me, and we start our usual post-sex cuddle, which usually lasts a few minutes. I'm a huge fan of the lie of the post-sex cuddle.
What do you mean?
It's just so funny to me that, like, you have sex with someone, and then you roll over like, and you still have, like, a condom on your dick, and, you know, you're like,
That's the best part.
And you're just like, look, like you just got your girl under your arm that you met, you know, 2 days ago, you know, and you're like, look at us against the world. Like, it's this like funny moment.
It's very intimate for some.
It's extremely intimate.
I feel like it's one of those things that it like feels like prematurely intimate, but it almost like is only good because it is so like, it's not, it doesn't feel as good the longer you've been together because it's like, well, it happens so frequently.
I'm with you. I remember just like those nights where you'd meet someone like maybe like at a bar or someone that you had just recently met. And it's like, now we're going to like hug each other.
Like you're just like, going to, it's almost like you're just going to hold me.
Yeah. And both, it's like two strangers amazing. Just like holding each other just so they don't feel lonely. It can be made really sad.
Yeah. You know? It's like, my favorite part.
After only about 30 seconds or so, the guy pushes me away from him and grabs the pillow out from under me, all with the jizz condom still on his dick, might I add. Yeah, that condom still on the dick is like a sad deflated balloon just sitting there full of regrets. I look around and he's smashing the pillow into my floor, and that's when I started smelling something burning. The corner of my pillow must have caught on fire from the candle that was burning on my nightstand. I see the corner of the pillow is up in flames, and my guy is ready to run out into the common area of my house, buck-ass naked with used condom flailing from his dick to put out the pillow fire. That's hilarious. That is such a visual. Like, running with the condom on the dick on the after penis. Sex. Yeah. It looks like one of the, like, the Keebler elves, you know, like the hat that they wear, like that little, like, you know, like in Smurfs, the Smurf hat. That's what the condom looks like.
Probably not his finest moment.
Before it resorts to that, I find an old cup of water on my nightstand and quickly throw it on the burning pillow, which quenches the fire. Once there is no more imminent danger, we both start bursting out laughing and debrief on what a unique and odd sex experience this was. We open my windows, but I can assure you my room still smells like a campfire right now, and it's making me crave s'mores. Oh, the smell of burnt hair and jizz. Ooh, yeah. Who wants to have some
s'mores?
It's
a new candle scent.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks for doing the Lord's work with this pod and hope you enjoy the story. I think the message here is to never put away all your nightstand water cups just in case of emergency. Sincerely, the hot tamale. Jordana, what do you think?
I think it's a funny story.
Yeah.
And as long as her house didn't burn down or like she got a third degree burn, I think it's a good one.
Do you ever have this worry with candles? I'm this way where I'm like, the candle thing, I'm like, what do we need this? High risk, low reward.
I always am paranoid that whenever I light a candle that I forgot to put it out. And that's happened to me before. I have a very embarrassing fire story that I can't believe I haven't told on this podcast yet. It's more dating than sex, but do you want to hear it?
Yes. I got to tell my, why I'm, you know, the white devil story. So,
so this was, I would say like four or so years ago, not all my friends, but a good amount of them, probably like five or six of us were single. Mm. We're like 25, 26. We're like all single. And we're like, why is dating?
The whole gal group is out.
The whole group is out. We're talking probably over brunch one day, and like we're just like, why can't we just like meet people? It's like very frustrating. Look at this podcast. Here we are, years later. But and then I read a Vogue article that came up somehow about like this girl who wrote in with the same question to Vogue. She was like asking a dating question, like, why can't I meet a guy? And then the story in the Vogue article was like, she's like, the answer was like so weird. It was like, she wrote to the girl and she's like, I also had this same problem. And then a year ago, I was on a retreat and Heather Graham was there with her like fiance and they looked really in love. And she asked what to do.
She asked Heather Graham?
She asked Heather, or like Heather Graham, she like asked like, how are you so happy? And she said, Heather Graham told her, write a list of all the qualities you want in a partner and then throw it into the ocean.
Okay. Right. I would make fun of this on this podcast many times over.
My friends and I are all like, let's give it a shot.
Oh my God.
But we're not near the ocean.
We need to, I want to take submissions of all the hilarious, crazy, like rom-com things girl groups have done to like, you know, like the burning sage, like let's move to the, we got to throw our notes into the ocean. Like you fucking litterers, you know, like
it works. So my roommate and I at the time, we decide let's give it a shot. So we write a list of all the qualities that we want in a man. We divide it into like must haves and then wants and like all these things, physical characteristics, emotional characteristics, all this shit. And then we're in our apartment. We're not out of the ocean. So we decided to just light it on fire.
Okay. Okay.
So we started to burn the list of all these of all the qualities that we want in this guy. And then suddenly I was living on 8th Avenue at the time. We see 4 to 5 fire trucks pull up next to our apartment building. And there's like 3 firemen in our hall banging on our door.
Oh, my God.
So we open the door and they're like, and we're like, oh my God, like, because we realized we just burned the paper. And I guess our neighbor had called the fire department because they smelled something. And they sent 4 fire trucks. And the guy, like this fireman, it's like at the
hot
door.
He's fireman.
Like, yeah, the hired fireman's at the door. And he's like, I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm so, he goes, were you burning paper?
Yes, we were burning our hypothetical
magic to find a man.
Heather Graham told us to do it. This is how you.
Like, that was probably like the most embarrassing thing that I've ever done in the name of finding love.
That is hilarious. How? Just explaining to the fire guy how what you why.
Sorry, I was just desperate to find a man.
And Heather Graham told someone who wrote into Vogue to do this, and we didn't have an ocean at our disposal.
Heather Graham told someone who answered a Vogue email. Yeah.
and like the firefighters, just like the woman from Austin Powers. What? Like,
what does she know?
Oh my God!
And look at me now, engaged.
Look at you now, engaged. You can listen, ladies. You don't write down your list. Was the list anything close to Mike? I mean, do you feel that list represented what you were looking for?
My friends were, some of my friends were like, the point of the story is that you should throw the list out because like what you think you want is not really like what you actually want. And the other half were like, no, you're manifesting these traits in someone. So there's a big debate over like, is the list, are you supposed to like?
Yeah, I guess I don't understand what throwing away the list does. Like, wouldn't you want to keep that one to like check with, you know, like when you go on a date, like, oh yeah, the must haves.
Does he check all the boxes? Yeah.
Yeah. Like I, to me, this is what people say when they can't, when they don't have advice to give. Like it sounds, just say
write
the most,
a list.
Turn into the Riddler. If someone asks for your advice on how to find a man, oh, it happens when you're not even looking under a tree and then there's, you know, magic under the rock and then you knock 3 times on the doorway and that's how you find them. Go to the grocery store. It's all like bullshit, like magic advice.
If you're single and long enough in Manhattan, you'll try anything.
Sure. Well, they should be listening to this podcast.
That's my story.
I love that story. It's just so, it is, that story is so Sex and the City. Like, if I saw it on Sex and the City now, I'd be like, fucking Carrie. She's always doing this stupid shit.
Like, it was like such a rom-com, like, desperate moment. I mean, I think I recently told Mike about it, but it's like, it's one of those things where I was like, this is too embarrassing. I have to wait until it's like, it's locked in to like really reveal how desperate I was.
It'd be funny if he's like, will you marry me? And you're like, okay, I'm in, but also I have this story I've been waiting to tell you.
Still want to do this?
Yeah, you still want to do it? Just want to make sure. What would you call this one?
I would call it the firefuck.
Firefuck.
What would you call it?
I just love the visual of the condom still on his dick while trying to put out a fire. Like, nothing could look less manly. Like if anything, when I think about fire...
You're calling this the nothing could look less manly?
Yeah, nothing could look worse. The ugliest way to be naked. Like, nothing... Like, when I think of a firefighter, I'm like, those guys are just, like sitting there with big swinging hogs. And then this guy is putting out a fire with, like, the smallest your dick has ever been, with a rubber hat on it, with, like... his manhood sitting in it. Just like, it's just a gross moment. The post sex cum in the condom.
The sizzling snuggle.
I like that. Sizzling snuggle. The, I don't know. I is this a red flag or deal breaker? To me, it's fine. This wouldn't bother me.
I think
me.
It's fine. I appreciate that he like, you know, it's kind of hot. He like was like the protect. He got up and he wasn't like, your pillow's on fire.
Yeah, why don't you take care of that bitch?
Yeah, yeah. He got into it.
Yeah, I'm with you. He made a move.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Should we do an email?
Yeah, let's do an email. UUP@betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Let's hit it.
Hi, J&J. I'll get right to the point. I'm wondering if it should be considered a red flag when a guy shows too much interest too early. For context, I've been on two dates with a guy I met on Hinge. Both dates were a week apart. While the first date went great, the second date felt awkward because he kept talking about how thankful he was to have met me, how much he liked spending time with me, even inviting me to hang out with his friends a few days later. He texts me all the time, and if I don't respond within a few hours, he usually double texts me. He'll even send me pictures of activities he's doing. While it's flattering, a part of me is kind of freaking out about how quickly he's moving, and I'm starting to wonder if moving forward in a relationship with him could be problematic. For some background, I've had a previous relationship that started in a similar way where my now ex would compliment me constantly, and he brought up our future together on the first date. We were together for over a year, but during our relationship, my ex was extremely controlling, and I can't tell if my feelings about this new guy are just because I'm scared of my old relationship and how it ended badly, or if there is cause for genuine concern here. I guess my question is, what does it actually mean if the guy shows too much interest too early? What is the line between being sweet and complimentary or just being way too much in your space and indicating you'll be a controlling boyfriend down the line? Thanks for so much for the advice. I love the podcast and have recommended it to all my friends.
So there's kind of like two different versions of this guy to me. And this is kind of in the middle of the two.
Okay.
So, like, there's the first version that I'm like, you got to run away from. That's, like, just, like, just using kind of like emotional gaslighting as a to sleep with you. Like that, this doesn't sound like that, but to me, like there's that guy that's like, hey, beautiful. Hey, babe, let's go out.
I've been thinking about you.
Right? Yeah. And you have never been out, and he's on the first day and everything's like great, but and then he's like, we should do something tomorrow. You want to just like come over tomorrow and we'll like make pancakes. And you're like, what, why is this like, it's almost like too good to be true type of thing.
Right. What's the second guy?
The second guy is the one that uses, and listen, I've probably been guilty of this, is where you use, actions as a boyfriend as your game. So it's okay. Like where you're like, where you get, where you're familiar enough quickly that they're just wooing you with boyfriend things as opposed to like getting to know you.
Okay. What if like, there's a guy who's actually like really just like anxious and like just really into you? Like a guy, like there are some guys who are like just kind of get obsessed with girls, aren't there?
Sure. That exists, but I think like to me, like the idea of like, like I think we all of us, male, female, whatever, like we're all cautious of being too much too soon.
Like right. I mean, if you've been dating for it's not your first dating experience, you usually are.
Yeah, you usually and listen, I've been that guy where I've made the mistake of like, you know, you're like, to me, anytime I've been in the position of like being nervous about someone I really liked, I was like, it was like my own inadequacies. Like I was like worried about like it wasn't really that I was meeting the person. Yeah. I just wanted to be liked. And like, to me, like I understand. I think the one mistake she makes is it indicating that he's a controlling boyfriend. That to me is more you relating the last one to this one.
Right. That seems like its own independent thing. I don't think the real fear is that. I think the real fear is like, oh, is this person moving at a way faster pace than you? And like, are you not on the same page?
Yeah. And
like do you even like this person?
It seems like, and to blame, the problem with the person that wants to do too much, the nice guy, is that you kind of have to like turn down dessert. And someone will be like, you don't like dessert? And you'd be like, well, I'm just like not in the mood for this dessert. And everyone's like, who doesn't like dessert? And you go, I guess I'll take the dessert. You know, like this guy is he's doing all these things that if you explain to someone, they'd be like, what's like a mom. Would
right.
Always
if you tell
like,
that to your mom, she'd be like, yeah, that's so great. Like, your kid wants to marry you. And, well, that's, I think, also kind of an issue. Like that can be an issue when you're dating, when you're like, am I going about this the right way? Because you can find yourself kind of sometimes just dating these guys who don't treat you well or don't say nice things, and then you find a guy who does and you're like, well, this also kind of feels like,
yeah,
I don't know if I want that guy.
It's a three bears situation. This
right.
Porch,
well, not
too
that
hot.
One.
Yeah, this porch too cold, this porch just right. You know, like it's hard because I think the most important part of her email is that she's just not into this. And that's okay to say. Like, it's okay to be not into things that would generally people should like.
Yeah. It's okay to be turned off by that kind of thing. I think that there are some people who won't be. And like, there's nothing wrong with a guy. I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with a guy who says things like that. Like, I'm so lucky I met you and I can't wait to see you again. Although it might be like a little fast for anyone, but like, let's play devil's advocate and say he felt they really did have this connection and said that. There's nothing like wrong inherently with that, but it's okay for you not to be like your taste of someone who's saying that kind of thing to you that quickly.
I also totally agree. And I also think that she could, if she was into this, she could go to this guy, hey, I'm really enjoying getting to know you. This is too much too soon. Like that's a hard advice right. to take, but to say like, hey, like I'm enjoying getting to know you, but I have a pace. If you want to meet my pace, I'm down for it. But like, you're going at a pace that's kind of different than mine.
Right.
You know, like, and that's hard to do.
I think you could do that. I think it's like, again, like, especially if you're kind of like, well, maybe this is kind of a turnoff, but if I could like sort of relay that and he could change, like maybe it could be better. Because I think as someone who like finds herself burning lists on one end, and then like you, and then you're rejecting guys who are like seem great and seem like they're really into you. You're like, these things seem counterintuitive.
I know. And that's the hardest part is like, listen, it's okay to like turn this dude down. Like to me, like if I was on a date with someone who moved, I don't trust it. I'm reading this. I don't trust anything.
I don't trust anything that anyone, that any guy says, would say to me before he slept with me.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I take it complete.
Well,
you know.
this kind of has like the makings of the girl who gets sideswiped, where she's like, well, he did all the boyfriend things. And it's like, at that point, it's like, okay, if someone has no taste, you have to wonder what their taste, that, you know, if they'll just eat anything, you know, if like they're just up for anything, like what is their taste? What will they say no to?
Right. Would they say that to anyone, or is it? There is a chance that you did have some incredible connection. It's probably like the less likely chance, but there's a possibility of that. But the more likely thing is this person is just like falls hard for like anyone they meet and like projects all their like wanting to be in a relationship into that person.
Yeah. I kind of live by the motto that I'm not that great, you know? So like if someone's like moving in too quick for this, I'm always like, what? Something must be up.
Well, that's something people will tell you sometimes too. It's like, oh, you don't like the guys who are nice to you because you have low self-esteem.
Well, I mean, there has to be a level of in between, and it's like
where it's,
you know,
like authentic seeming.
Yeah, I just think the first date went great. The second date felt awkward because he kept talking about how thankful he was to have met me. That's fucking weird. I'm sorry. I'm also, there's got to be a little bit of awareness. How do you even respond to that?
Like, they don't even know you yet.
That's
really
the thing. And also, are they doing a version of mental masturbation where, you know, where they're going, she checks boxes that I need without even meeting you? You know, like sometimes you go on a date with someone and it's like, they get hyped up by like a family member, and you're like, this should all work. Oh my God, this is it. This is the person. All the recipes here. And then you're like, but you're not even like trying to meet that person. You're just trying to win them at that point.
Yeah. Like, you're just right. You're kind of like, again, you've created this story about your life and this person just seems like they fit in it. So you're like, but that's not, you don't really know them yet. So to say that soon to me, like, would be very difficult for that to be authentic unless you had some crazy first date where you like fell completely in love.
Yeah. And if you're someone that like isn't sure how they deal with sex and relationships, I think this is a bad guy to like keep going with. Like, because then you would think like, well, everything's great for him, and then the sex comes, and he's like, I'm a little less.
Right, where
you know,
did he go? Yeah. Where'd that guy go?
It's like, that could be a huge mind fuck. Like, I just think, like, I could read this email in a different tone, and if she was into him, then it would be okay. Like, if I read this from her perspective, the first date went great. The second date was a little awkward. He talked about how thankful he was to have met me. How much he likes spending time with me. He did invite me to hang out with his friends a few days later. That's a plus. You know, like, it would be a different tone.
Right. You're saying she's like, she doesn't seem like she's that into him.
No. And it's kind of like where there's smoke, there's fire from the last email, where it's like, trust that. You don't have to date this guy. You'll find a nice guy. Like, you'll find someone who's not this.
But if you're really into him, and this is the only annoying thing, I think you could, why not vocalize it like you said before? Just say like, hey, like, I'm having a great time. You're going a little quick for me with like the things that you're saying. It seems like a little fast. So
Well, I would say like, so to me, like saying how thankful he was to have met me and how much he liked spending time with me on the second date, that's fucking weird. But then also, invited me to hang with friends a few days later, not that weird to me. Text me all the time, and if I don't respond within a few hours, double text me. If you were into him, you wouldn't mind. He'll even send me pictures of activities he's doing. Yeah, I've done that with people I've just met, like to send a picture of like what I'm doing. But
also, not that weird to say I've had a great time spending time with you on the second.
But
date.
He says
it many times, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, like, trust that vibe. Like, I just don't like. How many times can that be said?
Right. If it's said once, I think it would be like fine. If they're like, well, I'm having a great time or something like that. I don't think that's like, get out of here, loser.
Well, if they said it once and you're like, ugh, then you just don't like him. That's okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's play some games. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP at Betches.com. Let's do it. Go ahead.
Red flag or deal breaker? They want to send out holiday cards together before you are engaged or married. This winter, Jess is like, get put on your nice put chinos.
That's what she says all the time.
We're taking our holiday chinos. Photo shoot.
It's okay with me. I mean, your friends start to do this when they start moving in together. And I'm okay with it. If they wanted to do holiday cards together before we moved in, I'd be like, that's a little soon for me. But I don't think that would end the relationship.
It wouldn't be a deal breaker.
No. But I'm also, I'm not like a big holiday card person anyways. Like, I'm not like...
That would be like the furthest, the last thing I would imagine you were doing, unless it was like a holiday card that was like making fun of other holiday cards.
I always wanted to do the thing, and I don't know if it ended up if someone else already did it. I wanted to do a birthday. I wanted to send out birthday cards. I've always wanted to do this, and so it's to me, it's such an idea that's probably. I'm wondering if someone else did it because it's not the most genius idea. But I wanted to send a picture of me in a huge rocking chair or a huge chair in a diaper with how many months I've been alive.
Like for the babies.
For the babies. So I'd be in a diaper.
Jared.
Jared.
What's your middle name?
Lewis.
It'd be like Jared Lewis.
With 7,000 months.
7,000 weeks old.
Yeah. I've always wanted to send that out, but I never really had the organization.
I would enjoy that.
Yeah. What do you think?
You should put it on Instagram.
Yeah, that's where it would go. Send to my friends just me, diaper.
When they send you their baby at like 22 weeks, you can send them back.
I want to know that I would put those as the weeks.
Yeah, that's great. I love that.
What do you think? Holiday cards, you okay with that?
Might be a double standard, but I would think it was a little weird. But I think I'm like also not a holiday card person, but
yeah.
I'm fine with it. Mike's parents include me in their holiday card. Done that for the past couple of years. Yeah, they include a picture of us.
See, that's great.
That's nice.
How? And you were questioning the engagement. Like, how do you see that? And you're like, I don't know. Or when are we getting married? Like, wouldn't you? Like, isn't that a part? Doesn't that calm you?
I mean,
didn't that calm you at all?
It does, but that's not. You know,
it ain't no ring. Shows off the ring forever.
No, that was nice.
I think that's nice.
Yeah, I agree. All right. They got buy you a gift worth thousands of dollars when you've been dating for 6 weeks for your birthday, let's say.
That's a deal breaker for me. I'm out. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but like to me, I don't like this thing, and this happens with a lot of women where it's like, oh, I'll just do the girlfriend thing. You know, a lot of guys are chased away before you're the girlfriend. So
Are they chased? Would they be chased away even if they were to eventually become?
No, I just think sometimes. Yeah, I sometimes a lot of I've been in situations where it's like I'm feeling sick. And then they're like, well, let me come over and I'll make you soup. And you're like, no, get the fuck away. I feel sick. Like, I don't need that.
So you're turned off by them, like, trying to insert themselves in your life in that way.
And to me, thousands of dollars on a gift is kind of like you're now adding parameters on the 6 week thing that we're not sure.
What if they got you any kind of gift?
I'd be okay with it. But I don't like, I think early on, that's why I've always been an experienced gift guy. Where early on you get in this situation where you're like, I think you should put the least amount of pressure. It should be getting to know each other and getting, you know, I think when you start putting dollar amounts on your relationship is when it gets more complicated.
That's fair.
What do you think?
Would you get a birthday gift for someone you were dating for 6 weeks at all?
No, I would do a gesture. I would be like dinner. Like
I was once dating this guy for like probably a month, and I got him like a nice pair of socks for his birthday that he had mentioned that he liked this brand of socks. And then it ended, so maybe that was why.
Well, there is a thing, and here's what happens. And I say beware the birthday, beware the holiday. Beware the moment after you gave him the gift, because then now they're put at odds. Your human brain is you don't want to disappoint people, like humanly. So like
now they're like, oh, she's into this.
She's thought enough about me, and I haven't thought that deeply about her. So am I an asshole for sticking this out because now the page that she is on has been revealed?
Because now there's proof and evidence into the varying levels of being into this.
Yeah, I can't really deny, it's like a contract that's been implied, a lot of guys will be like, well, we hadn't had the talk yet. And it's like, that if you ask them, why'd you ghost? Well, I thought we were just hanging out. And it's like, yeah, but you took my $1,000 gift. So right.
That was the thing on $1,000 Vanderpump gift? Rules.
What, oh, you don't that watch happened? That,
right?
I've seen. Vanderpump?
Well, Sheena buys this guy like an Apple Watch that she's been dating for like a month. And then he like ends and she keeps talking about how she got him the Apple Watch.
Well, it's almost like how little trust in yourself do you have that you needed to lock someone in with an Apple Watch?
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think that's a crazy amount for that time. All right. They use the expression sorry, not sorry after every strong opinion they give.
Oh, I'd be out.
I'd be out just because that phrase is so outdated.
Yeah, it's also so douchey. And it's also sorry, not sorry is like, well, that's just my opinion. Like now you're... Now you're an idiot aunt in the Facebook comments.
Right.
Is that what your aspiration was? Like, why even say the opinion if you didn't want to talk about it?
I agree. I think it's like I'm excusing myself from being, it's like a no offense, but almost worse than that. It's worse than no offense because it's like, it's like offense and I'm not sorry about it.
It's the same as the apology that's like, if you felt offended by what I said.
That's the worst
It's a cop-out apology. Like, if I had someone say, like, I really was hurt by, I've had people DM me, like, this one thing, and I go, like, that you said, and this was wrong, and I felt this way, and I go back and listen to it, like, and I'm like, And then we can discuss. Like, let me go back and listen to it and let me, you know.
And then I'll decide if I'm sorry or not.
Yeah. It's okay to not be sorry. It's like, we disagree is better than sorry, not sorry. You know, like, I think that's more of an
very
angle.
True.
But, Jordana, we did it again.
We did it again.
Always helping the dating world. Look at us. Listen, keep telling your friends. Keep spreading the words. UUP at Betches.com. We're here Wednesdays and Sundays. Now, the Sunday episodes, people are...
They're a lot of fun.
Streets are buzzing. They're really buzzing. So
they are.
Keep spreading. Keep telling people. We'll be back next week. Boom.
Bye. You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.